Hi, this is Pirate Davy Jones with PiratePods.com. Today I'm with a scribe amidst the lions. Could you all tell me your names and tell me what you do for the band?
I'm Robert Garrity, and I play bass guitar.
I'm Adam Jacobs. I'm one of the vocalists and play guitar and keyboards.
I'm Christopher Town, and I play guitar and sing as well, and also do a little bit of synthesizer sampling and some percussion and drum stuff.
I'm Nate Ball, and I play drums / etc.
Could you all tell me your story of the Scribe Amidst the Lions, your start, and what's going on right now?
Back in 1982,
actually it was about 1982 or so that Adam and I met, because we were born, our parents were friends at the time, so we kind of knew each other our whole life without really knowing each other as kids, so we pretty much grew up together, and that was the basis of a lot of things. Later on, we met up with Bob in high school and became friends, stuff like that. A few years later, after high school, Bob and I moved out here to San Diego and started playing music, acoustics, open mics, stuff like that, just trying to meet people, form a band. A year after that, Adam came out from Minnesota and decided to join up with us and play some music, and that's when we found Nate. We're looking for a drummer, and he kind of just fit the puzzle. He was wacky and crazy, and we knew he was talented. Like, he wasn't even actually a very qualified drummer. He kind of lied to us on the ad that he posted at a record shop, and we were expecting a more experienced drummer, but we could tell he was an amazing musician and very talented, and he was cool and quirky, and so we kind of knew it would fit, and just practiced a lot, and did a lot of small shows, dive bars, wherever, play with whoever, whenever we can, and have come a long way in the last couple of years, touring a lot, recording, putting out our own stuff.
So why the name, Scribe Amidst the Lions?
We've had a couple names throughout our history as, playing music together, but this one's been our name for about 2 years since we've gotten really serious and put out our full-length album, and
I think when it comes to the name and, what it means, people can take it literally, it's interesting, I like using two words in particular, scribe and amidst, that people don't seem to use too often or hear too often, and it confuses people. A lot of people are like, what's a scribe, or what's so I kind of like that, that aspect of it. It's it makes people think a little bit more, question it, but what it means literally is it's just kind of a, it's almost a metaphor for just being an underdog, kind of being outnumbered, being in a situation where you're greatly just kind of outnumbered, and you're by far just kind of the scribe, you're the peaceful person, in the middle of all of this chaos and all this hatred and stuff. And what it comes from a song called Negotiate Lives Under Teeth, and that's kind of where we picked the lyric up from one of our own songs and chose that for our name. Song in particular, it's kind of more specific to a political process, or trying to be involved in the political process while feeling like you're not making a difference, or everyone else is so much more aggressive and so much more intense about things, even if they're not right, or if they're doing horrible things.
I like it a lot because it is so applicable to so many different situations and moods, and even all of our songs. That concept can be applied to what we sing about and write about a lot, and just how we live our lives and stuff. So
we had a band name that some other bands had across the world. When you do some internet research and stuff, you find oh shit, there's someone in Australia using the same band name, and we were going to put out our own record and pay for it and everything, so that was the moment where we decided, we need to change our name, and we need to come up with something that as an independent band, we can copyright and push and not worry about anyone else out there having it later on.
Every time we tell people about our band, we have to choose our words wisely, because a lot of people get it confused, and
Yeah, or write it down.
Yeah, write it down. Every place we go.
So many venues we've been to, and they have it up on the marquee or like a little sign out front, you know, and it's like a scribe amidst the slizzles.
Or scribe among lions.
Scribe among lions. Or
scribe against lions.
Yeah, scribe against lions. Against lions is a pretty popular one.
It comes with the territory. We're used to it. We don't take offense, but we definitely correct people who are trying, you know. But
you get lots of raised eyebrows when you first tell the person the name, but you hear it a few times, and it's pretty hard to forget, I think.
Yeah, that's something with the repetitiveness of it. Like, anytime you repeat something, it helps helps lodge it in your brain a little bit, you know. So it kind of helps in that way. Like, people have to ask two or three times, what was it exactly, you know, describe this, and every time you repeat it gets a little deeper in the head, you know. So it's a mixed bag. It's a mixed blessing, you know, having such a long name.
Yeah, see, some of our best friends still screw it up every once in a while, so,
sure.
Yeah,
we don't. Or they'll call us our old band name, you know.
Yeah, we don't sweat it very much.
They referred to our house as the Split House. We used to be Split Infinity, and it's been 2 years since we've been Split Infinity, but still we have parties, and people are meet us at the Split House, and it just bugs the hell out of me.
So it does bother Bob, I guess. The rest of us are we're over it. We're a little more okay with it.
I'm all right.
Bob's anger is coming to the surface.
Maybe exaggerating a little.
Pisses me off.
Could you all tell me about the idea behind Muffled Bell? Tell me the idea behind that one.
I'll say that it's one of my favorite songs to play drums. Say yeah. That.
It's a pretty sporadic song.
Literal, it was just about going out in the field.
Throwing and covering up the
thing over a bell.
And trying to ring the bell.
We tried and tried to ring it, but it wouldn't ring.
No, it's kind of having a preconceived notion of just your own how you're going to deal with problems and how you're going to feel about things. And just, it's almost like a little bit about pessimism and how to overcome that. You know, and just especially having gone through pretty traumatic things and how to deal with things in a sense once you have, like, how to repeat, you know, a certain process once the last time you did that was so traumatic for you. It's a really sporadic song. It's all over the place, which is, you know, how, I mean, I personally feel sometimes, so it's a illustration of that. Yeah.
So is that what trauma does to you? Makes you feel sporadic, I guess, or the mind, right?
Yeah.
It was all over the place.
Yeah. And I mean, that one, I mean, it's not like necessarily from in my personal, it's from people I know and experiences that of people that are close to me and myself, and then just trying to understand them too, you know, and trying to learn how to help them deal with it and stuff too. I think that we've all had our fair share of people that are close to us and ourselves that have been through some like really traumatic things. And then that goes for everybody, you know, and that, and just learning how to be the person that's you know, going to be the support for people like that or situations like that. And then that's, you know, that kind of goes back to why I really like our band name, and I'm really, really proud of our band name is that it's really applicable to that, you know, among other things.
Amidst
other things. Against other things.
Against other things.
But then you could say, I mean, that music has this important role, right? Music you make, and obviously the music that you might have heard that influenced you in some ways, that at least I've always seen it that way. And not to talk about myself, but that I've always seen it's one facet of music that I listen to as a way to cope with the situation.
Oh, certainly.
Oh, agreed. Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly why we're in this, you know?
Wow.
Just because
it's a good release.
Oh, man, yeah.
Of everything. I mean, we have shitty days at work and come home and have practice, and by the end of practice, you're feeling great, you know? Or
as long as it's not one of those practices.
Yeah.
we're all about to kill each other.
Doesn't end in fighting, you know. That
we're arguing over 30 seconds of a song for 3 hours, and at the end of the practice, we're not any farther into the 30 seconds than we were when we started.
Yeah, I think that
those happen every now and then.
That's life. It's life.
Well, I mean, that could happen though when you get in a room of you know, filled with creative people. It's likely to happen.
Yeah,
we're all pretty strong-willed as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the way we write our songs.
We're all
too.
Pretty opinionated. We're all songwriters, so yeah. The good thing is most of the time we can put that into something and make a good song. And
that's a lot of why our music is all over the place, is because we had so many people with their input into it, you know. But I mean, I love how it goes too. So it's totally cool with me. I mean,
I think we're really analytical about everything too. So we don't just like someone has an idea, like if especially if people aren't feeling it, maybe it takes some convincing, you know, some persuasion almost. So people are like, well, why do you want to change that, or why do you want to put this part into the song, you know? And it's like we really get into it like that. We're not just like it's gonna be like this, you know, or like it's got to be slow here, you know, like yes or no kind of thing. Like we really delve into why things should be like that, you know, like where are we going with this song, like what kind of things are we trying to do with it, like how long should it be, you know, like all kinds of different things we really get into, and we converse about it and we hash it out and construct songs like
and
that.
And not to,
you know, so it's
not to force it out either, like just not to crank out lots of songs or anything like that. It's patience.
Sometimes it flows out in a few minutes, you know, and we have a song, and sometimes it takes months and months and months. And
sometimes we abandon it.
Yeah, sometimes we just drop the song.
If all of you had the power to turn one thing that's currently false into a truth, what would you choose to change?
Wow, I wish I had time to think
about this. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, like, you know, I think of a lot of conspiracy things, but a lot of that stuff no one really knows if it's really true or really false. Also, I mean, I think about like 9/11 and stuff, but I can't say whether that's, you know, like whether it is false for sure. So, I mean, that would be something. If there was a power to just get an absolute truth and find out, you know, exactly what happened and everything, like, you know, I would think about that right away and stuff. But it's not like I know the answer or I know what did exactly happen. That, the stories we hear and what the media says and everything right away is true, in fact. So I don't know. I think about that, you know. But I think about a lot of conspiracy stuff. And,
Really wish it was possible for cold fusion to exist. Like if somebody told me that you can do it, you know, I think it would save a lot of problems on this world.
Or time travel.
Energy.
Or time travel. But that comes from cold fusion.
I think we all just have a desire to be a superhero. So whatever things that you can't do as a superhero, that's what we wish were true that we could do.
I think flying would probably be the most important one.
We all vote for flying, for sure.
Yeah, so do I.
Or world super strength.
What about playing with your breasts in the shower? Would you be our kind of superhero?
That is super.
As long as I can change back before I had to go to work. That'd be kind of rude if you're in the middle of work and
this is my superhero power.
Let me put those away.
With my breasts in the shower.
That would be your job. Could y'all tell me about the equator swallow? What is that all about?
That's
the equator swallowed the boys. Locked down the escape code burns and slow as the book ends of 44. Kind of specifically, it's running with this theme that we have for our second album, which is entitled Sunken Cities, and it's a lot about the loss of information, is a good way to put it, I think, and it's kind of a large subject because there's so many things that go along with that, but in the song, I mean, it's kind of referring to a couple different, you know, elements of history and things that have happened, from like burning books in Germany and during the Holocaust and stuff, to even just, you know, American textbooks and things that are more or less maybe not 100% accurate, or how people can change text and information to, in a way, change history or to change reality. Like, if enough people think a certain thing over time, then it becomes real. You know, it becomes history. It becomes what people believe, even if it's technically not what happened. I mean, like, look at the Bible and things like that. Some people really believe that a lot of that stuff really did happen. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But, I mean, that song, yeah, just kind of goes into specifically, like, the loss of information and what has happened in our world, what is happening still, and, you know, like, how people can kind of get above that just by realizing that it's possible to do that, that you can't just believe everything that you read, you can't just believe everything you hear, you can't just believe what you read even in a book sometimes, you know, or even in school. You might have to check some sources and I think the best thing that, you know, people can do is just talk and converse and communicate, and people, you know, it's like sitting around a coffee shop like we're doing now, you know, like I see people having political arguments or religious conversations and stuff, and it's great, you know, that's how people come across, you know, their own ideas and how they can really find some truth in maybe certain cases or arguments and stuff. So yeah, and I mean the song title specifically is kind of just came from an idea I had about so many people, like how they were still finding like old Nazi militants and stuff in South America and in tropical regions, basically, like where you could move with a lot of money and flee the authorities and stuff. And they were finding people like in their 80s and stuff, you know, 80-year-old Nazis who they would fly back to Germany and put on trial and stuff. And so that was, you know, the boys part of it is actually supposed to be like a capitalized boys, like not as in children, but in like the boys club, like the boys, you know, like capitalized boy, like the boys club, yeah. So it's like the, you know, it's kind of a reference to people fleeing fleeing criminal charges and problems and stuff, and going to tropical areas where everything's cheaper and you can kind of disappear, you know. And it's about my old girlfriend. No.
Which part?
No, yeah.
Which part?
She swallowed your boys.
I'm so pissed.
It was something, yeah, with the... Oh, speaking of that, my class.
But I thought we were trying to avoid that, though.
Yeah, it's something that it was debated a lot about what to call it and stuff, you know, is that I didn't think about it so much, but, you know, we didn't want people to get perverted assumptions from it or take any sort of sexual reference from it. But I think really we're just a bunch of pervs, so we just kind of do it ourselves. And, you know, we kind of get
overanalyze it.
We sexually analyze just about everything. You know, we can look at it.
How can we compare this to sex?
Sexual.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That's a healthy way to see things, though, right? I mean, that's not necessarily a perversion, but yeah, sex is a very healthy thing. So I think that, you know, the more people are out there, you know, sucking each other off and fucking, I mean, that would, yeah, I think that could really change things. If more people did that, can you imagine how, well, or I mean, even
if it's
would
not
there be wars, free, would there be tension with this release?
Don't people do that?
Well, that's why. But not enough, apparently. I mean,
still too much hate in this world.
Yeah. If people were in bed having a good time, they wouldn't even think about it.
I read on the cover of a magazine about 5 months ago that there was a little caption. I think it was Cosmopolitan or something. And it read, I punctured his thigh with my stiletto. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Nate probably does.
It turns me on.
Sorry,
Nate.
Stiletto,
like a heel?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the like the OJ stiletto, but
I've seen you know, the hookers on the strip shows on HBO, and some people like getting smacked in the face and licking boots and stuff like that. That's all I can think about.
Licking
boots. In general.
Not just today.
So are we talking about the coupling of pleasure with pain?
I'm down.
Yeah, stiletto's a sexy word, you know. It's depending on words can change a lot of things, you know. It can make something gruesome sound kind of attractive or kind of sexy. Like, if it was different, if it was like boot heel or something, you know, it doesn't quite
boot
have
heel.
The same.
With my it's boot
a,
heel.
It's a form of poetry. Get people aroused with words or with stabbing them in the thigh with a stiletto.
The word thigh.
There you go.
Thigh,
yeah.
Thigh as opposed to leg. Or
thighs rhyme with pies.
Hamstring.
Hamstring.
He punctured my hamstring with his boot heel. Damn, it felt good.
You're inspiring some new songs, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, good, good.
What's the one contribution you would all like to leave this world?
Leaving the world a better place than what I came into.
Yeah, I mean, initially when we first started out, I think just being able to make music that's timeless and that can be looked back at and with that we're all proud of and that you know, people could be listening to in 30 years and love, you know. I think right now, I have a baby on the way, so the first thing I think about is just a well-bred child, I guess, you know? It's going to be a good contribution to our society and our family and my life, so it changes.
Yeah. I'd like to develop cold fusion so that I can save the world from its energy crisis and global warming and stuff.
And time travel.
No, time travel is kind of sketchy.
No, no.
You can get into a lot of trouble, and who knows what kind of messed up things can
back
happen.
To the future.
Because, yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, but you
every single time
impossible
travel
to travel back in time.
Well, if you time travel into the future, does that take you out of the future so that you're technically the one in the future from the past?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You would cease to exist in the present because you left the present and you went to the future.
Yeah. Well, wait. Yeah, well, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, something. I wish that I could develop mass transit speed trains for the whole country. I'm not an engineer by any means, but it seems like such a simple idea to me. And it's amazing that this country can't get it together to like have good mass transportation like not every other country in the world. But like many other countries in the world, advanced countries, whatever. But that's something I always think about. You know, as far as the music and stuff, I agree with Adam. Like, I think just having something that'll last. This is really cool. Having something that people can listen to or look back on, like whether it's 30 years or 100 years. You know, like we still have music from classical musicians, like incredible musicians like Beethoven and Mozart and stuff, like it's still around, it's still surviving, and it's not going anywhere, you know, it's not, I mean, it might be a smaller market as compared to how many people were listening to that kind of music 100, 200 years ago, but it's not going anywhere, you know, it'll be around forever, and same with more current rock and roll groups like the Beatles or, you know, things like that, I mean, it's timeless, you know, Pink Floyd, and I would love to see our music in that sense becoming something that's just very well known and appreciated, you know, or respected. And, you know, I don't think it has anything to do with our personalities or anything. I mean, for myself anyway, I'd rather be anonymous and be, you know, no pictures, things like that, you know, just let our music do the speaking. So it's not about being famous or anything. It's more just, you know, I think, you know, everyone's a pleasure seeker in a way. You want people to like you. You want people to like your stuff. So it's part of that. But I think we really want people to enjoy our music and to, you know, hopefully get some sort of satisfaction out of it, like what we get when we play it or perform it and stuff, and maybe even have some sort of respect for it or understanding, you know, like where we're coming from.
I'd like to leave it some good music. because you can talk to me for hours, but you can get to know me a lot better just from hearing the music I've made, whether it's with, you know, with my band playing drums or making my own music or, you know, whatever. And then the other thing is helping out as many animals as I can while I'm here, and those are my purposes. That's it.
How do you currently help out these animals?
I'm the manager at a pet store for parrots, and I take care of them and make sure they go to good homes and educate people and give them the best life that they can while they're living with me at my store. And I plan on doing some more later when I have more means.
He also rescues neighborhood cats and animals and stuff.
I have two rescued neighborhood cats in my house, so if you want one, please let me know.
Nate, that is describing this line.
A dog and two parrots, or one parrot now?
I have one parrot, one dog, two cats.
Is he the kind of guy that when you're walking down the street and he sees like a hurt bird or a wounded chipmunk or something, he's going to run over and be like,
we need to get you stitched up, little buddy, and here, let me get you a splint. There you go, now you're off to the wilderness.
When we're on tour, he'll befriend all the animals along the way, and by the time he gets home, he has a portfolio of all the different birds, like pelicans.
I have pictures of him with pelicans.
I draw pictures of the cows. I get obsessed with the cows on tours because I see the happy cows and I see the sad cows. You go through Texas, you see all the cows all bunched together and looking pretty miserable, and then you go through, let's say, Kansas, and it's just open grazing, everybody looks happy and lazy, and
the cows
better be careful what you say, we might get a lawsuit for that.
Texas cows does best. We love bovine
Texas beef industry.
Can each one of you name two people whose brains you'd like to pick?
Ooh. Albert Einstein, certainly, and that's good. Jesus.
Ooh. You got some good ones there.
Mine.
My first thought was George Bush. Just really want to know why he does some of the things he does more than anything else. I don't know how long it would take to pick his brain.
Does he like to swim with that?
But yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
Anyone else?
Oh, I get two.
You get
people.
Two.
No, I've already picked Bob's brain and Chris's brain and Nate's brain. That's been quite an adventure. I'd say. I don't know. Maybe one of my idols as far as a musician goes, like Roger Waters or Tom York or something, would be very interesting to me.
Let's see.
Custer?
Colonel Custer? Yeah, why not, dude?
Why'd you make it, dude?
Why'd you do it?
Yeah, you're outnumbered. You were totally outnumbered, man. It's so silly.
I would like to pick Kurt Cobain's brain. I want to know why.
Or if it wasn't.
And I would like to pick Donald Trump's brain, because I could pick his brain while I was picking his pocket.
Got a big pocket, man.
That doesn't carry that much cash.
It's a credit card. He wouldn't be able to use it anyway.
You take $1 billion out of his pocket, he's not going to notice.
Trump. Yeah, I know, right? You're going to rush with this card. Yeah, I'm Donald Trump.
It's Trump.
Junior.
Donald Trump Jr.
Donald Trump, that's my name.
Could each one of you tell me your most prized album in your collection?
Oh boy.
No. No, I can't.
I prize it so much, I don't want to give up its.
I don't want anybody else to listen to it.
I don't even listen to it.
Modest Mouse, Moon in Antarctica. I really enjoy that album, and I've liked it for a really long time.
Ooh. I depends on the day and my mood and all that. But usually I say Pink Floyd Metal or Pink Floyd Animals.
You're leading me on to something.
Ooh, I always lead you on.
I might say Pink Floyd The Wall. I might say that today. What day is it today?
Sunday.
Today is Sunday. Yeah. On Sunday, I will say that.
All right.
That's good.
Yeah. Pink Floyd Animals for me too. That's just cream of the crop. So good from start to finish.
You guys like some good music.
It's
all the same.
It's just, I mean, we like a lot of different kinds of music, but obviously some albums or some groups are like giants, you know, just like such a big influence and such a big part of our past or, you know, listening experiences. But yeah, that one, and, you know, probably, I haven't had it on CD for a while, so I haven't listened to it as much in the car or like at home, but I just got it on vinyl again not too long ago, but that's Neutral Milk Hotels, The Airplane Over the Sea. It's just like, it's really, really moving.
Yeah, it's a very poetic album. That's one of my favorites. I love that.
It's like every time I hear it again, I'm just like drawn right back into it.
What's the most embarrassing album in your collection?
I got one. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yankovic. I saw him in concert. You better change
his name. Is that how he introduced himself?
I saw him in concert too.
Which one?
I didn't see it. I
saw him at Cox Arena, and my brother saw him that same day at a music store, and he didn't even like him. He's like, "Oh, I saw Weird Al." I'm like, "You little bitch!"
Weird Al is an amazing guy. Dr. Demento stuff, like, I can't really pinpoint a disc right now, but I mean, it was so many years ago when I collected tapes and CDs and stuff like that. But people always give me a hard time when I tell them how much I love Weird Al.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm embarrassed about it, but Simon and Garfunkel is one of my
pussy.
It's the first vinyl that I bought with our new record player that we got a month ago, and I think Paul Simon's a great lyricist too, and they're great vocalists, and their songs are really, really great, well put together, and there's some timeless music. It's a mood music.
I don't know if this is kind of cheating on the question, because I'm kind of proud of the cassette tape that I own, but it's really random. It's embarrassing to everyone else, but yeah, it's Eddie Murphy's "Love Is All Right." And it's got him with his shirt open on the cover, and he's got flowers, and like he's very romantic. And but you can never quite tell listening through if it's like if he's really joking or if he's really serious. You kind of like battle with that the whole time. Like, is this a joke or is he like serious? Because he's really soulful, you know, and he's hitting some notes and stuff. He's kind of into it, but there's a really really horrible version of Hey Joe. You know, and of course, Jimi Hendrix didn't write it, but he, you know, made it popular and everything, and it's just too much, you know, Eddie Murphy singing Hey Joe is like,
yeah,
Hey Joe,
it's,
you're going back on your head.
See, none of the songs are funny, because he did a funnier album, I remember, with Boogie in Your Butt.
he's done comedy.
That was
music,
a classic. I'm not embarrassed about that one at
but
all.
This one is serious. So anyway, I bought it on tour in like New Mexico or something, and we were stranded. I think our van broke down and we were kind of killing time, and I went and found it in this like this old thrift store kind of place, and I kept popping it in and making the guys listen to it on the road trip randomly, and or we'd like stop and go to the bathroom, and then I'd switch the tape and like put it in Eddie Murphy. So when we all came back, we'd like start out the van and start driving, and they'd be like, "Wait a minute, what is this? Eddie Murphy again?"
What's your favorite part of San Diego? Just the best part about this place?
Being able to go out any night of the week without having to worry about the weather at all, you know. Yeah, go to a lot of shows.
That's my favorite part and least favorite part, is that the weather is always nice, you know. I do miss, you know, having the feeling of being really cold and like really cold, and then going into a nice warm house, or you know, having the weather change, you know, as drastically as when we lived in Minnesota. Yeah, I'd say that's my least favorite and most favorite, because it is nice to not have to worry about, you know, freezing your ass off and heating your car up and all that stuff.
Pretty lucky here.
Yeah. I would say, you know, it's not a specific thing, but I mean, the fact that there's so many cool little neighborhoods and boroughs that kind of have their own community going, and like arts centers and just different things, is really, and different kind of cultural aspects to it too and stuff. Like San Diego has so many cool little neighborhoods like Hillcrest and Little Italy and North Park and stuff that I really, really enjoy, just kind of meeting people from there. I work in Hillcrest, and you know, I'm always in North Park and stuff, and I just enjoy meeting so many different people and so many like crazy people, just kind of seeing a lot of different walks of life hanging out in those parts of town. So, and there's, you know, it's one of the few places where there's still a lot of like really old businesses and small independent shops, and there's a lot of new stuff too. People are always opening up new, you know, independent shops there and stuff like that, like a lot different than, you know, downtown and other bigger upscale places. And then also going on what Bob was kind of saying, like, I think it's pretty amazing that there's like shows here every night of the week. You know, San Diego is like 7 days a week. It can be Tuesday night, it can be Monday night, you know, and you probably have a choice. You can go see like salsa or hip hop, or, you know, or metal or punk, or, you know, it's like there's so many different things. Other cities aren't like that, even bigger cities, you know. We've come across cities like Portland or other big cities where, you know, we wouldn't be able to book a show on a Wednesday or on a Tuesday or something, you know, because they're just like, sorry, we only book Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's it, you know. And hearing from club owners and from bands, like, and you're not going to book it anywhere else either, you know, because no place really does stuff like on during the week, you know, or on off nights and stuff. Like, they cut their losses and you know, don't pay bands, don't pay a sound guy, they just have a jukebox or whatever. So I think it's really amazing here, and it's, people should feel lucky, and I try and go out to shows as much as I can and just hang out, see bands, experience the music and stuff, because it is different than a lot of other cities, and you know, I think people should see that, you know, and you know, appreciate it if they do live here and they do enjoy going to shows and stuff, because other cities don't have it quite so easy or so
diverse.
Accessible and diverse to go out and see whatever kind of music they feel like on Tuesday night or something, you know.
That's true.
Question. Oh yeah. My favorite part about San Diego is just the familiarity of it, because I grew up here. I'm a native and I pretty know it. I pretty much know it inside and out, and I feel comfortable and happy and safe here. Feels like home. That's it.
You should go this way next time so Nate doesn't forget the question.
I have ADD. I can't remember.
Nate's a native.
So, do you have any surprises in store for your listeners? Any new developments with your music that you'd like to talk about?
Definitely.
We have a new album coming up. It's called Sunken Cities, and we're really excited about it. And we're hoping everyone else is going to be kind of excited about it too. Someone else say something.
Yeah, it's going to have a lot of different stuff on it compared to our older material and our first album and everything. It's going to be kind of more focused and some shorter songs. There are going to be some longer, like 8-9 minute, you know, epic songs and stuff like that. But it's going to be more of like the 2-4 minute, very, you know, focused kind of to the point songs and stuff. And that's a little bit different for us. We're more of the abstract kind of experimental group, I think, when we write and we play, we like to just keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going, and we don't like to, like, cut things short or to, like, you know, so it's been kind of difficult for us, or arduous anyway, just kind of, like, working on those songs and sculpting them into shorter songs and stuff, but we've gotten it there, and we have almost all the recordings done for the album, so I think we're, you know, I'm really excited about that, and people will be able to hear a different side to us, and, you know, kind of our new direction and some of our newer stuff very soon. We also just played an acoustic show the other night, which was an awesome success. It was a lot of fun, and we kind of pulled out some different surprises, pulled out some old songs, like kind of reshaped some songs. So I think that's important. That's really cool for us to like expand our options and our just our palette of being able to play certain kinds of songs or styles and stuff. So, you know, I'd like to think that there'll be a little more of that in the future too, or, you know, at least maybe even with recording, like something a little more on the acoustic kind of weird side. So I was just thinking about that. The acoustic show was really fun, and that kind of shows a different side to us. So I think that mainly what I hope is that people see that we're very flexible. We can, you know, like, we can pull out surprises, and we can pull out, you know, random stuff that maybe they didn't think we were capable of doing. Like, a lot of people were probably pretty skeptical. How are they going to play acoustic, or what's it going to be like, or is it going to suck because it's not like their regular show and stuff? And everyone was ecstatic after the show. You know, people almost like it better just because you can hear the vocals better. And for a lot of people, that's a big thing. You know, the vocals for most people, really. So, but yeah, you know, that was really cool and a lot of fun. So I think just having surprises and flexibility with our sound and with our set is really important. And, you know, there may be some more surprises soon.
Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to say stuff about, like, Emissary Films and the work that we've been doing with them. Just they're great filmmakers that make short films. They've done a few music videos for us. They we're continuing to work with them. They might, you know, they've been shooting us. I think they might do some stuff on our tour and stuff like that. But these guys are really great and weird and along our, like, lines as far as film goes. And I'm really excited about working with these guys and doing more kind of merging of music and film and all that stuff too. And I really get intrigued by, like, you know, how Pink Floyd did the soundtrack for More. Just doing that kind of thing, I think it's great to have a band that can be that diverse and have that many options and just keep moving, keep active, and keep things alive. And I think that's what this art form is about, not being stagnant and having the same types of song released on every single album, and just doing an album, having them all sound the same. I mean, you can do an album, do a soundtrack for a film, you know, do a, you know, whatever. And I like that, and I hope we can continue doing stuff like that.
Well, where could fans of yours find these music videos that you mentioned?
We have, I mean, through Emissary Films, there.
So that is Emissary Films?
Emissary, yeah. Films, E-M-I-S-S-A-R-Y. And we've got one of the music videos on our website, or our MySpace. And
most of the stuff that they've done with us thus far has been, like, live video, so it's more like background kind of scenic stuff that it's not like a proper, you know, quote unquote music video or something. We do have one right now that's more of a quote unquote music video, and that's on our MySpace page. People can just go to that, you know, MySpace/describeMitzAlliance, and you can view it right there, and that's for Negotiate Lives Under Teeth. And so those guys spent a lot of time doing stuff with that, and, you know, it turned out really great. We're really excited about it, and we are currently working on, I was actually just down working with those guys today, this afternoon, working on the video for The Equator, Swallow the Boys, and that's going to be, like, our next, like, video. But we have plans to do more for a couple of our other songs, too, after that, so hopefully we can get them wrapped up soon enough and get on so we have, like, two or three that people can view. You know, and we have a YouTube page too and stuff, so that's another spot where people can search us out or find that video.
Hey, Google our name, that's always a good way to do it.
I mean, even if you just go to YouTube and
you know, type in Scribe Mints and Lions, you'll find our page. So.
Also, in terms of finding your music, which is the most accessible way to access your music right now?
I think MySpace. I mean, yeah, that's where we usually have the most current songs and stuff, you know. A friend of ours does our website for us, and we're on a zillion online sites like Pure Volume, GarageBand.com, iTunes, CD Baby, Interpunk.com. It goes on and on.
You can buy the albums through a lot of those places.
Yeah, you can buy them. Like, get the album.
And also live performances coming out to a show, you know, being able to see what you're buying, and, you know, it seals the deal.
What I was getting at is, like, the MySpace one is updated the most, and that's going to have, like, the most current. If we put out a new song or get a new recording, chances are it's going to be on there first before I get around to uploading it on all our other sites and things like that, so... and also, that's a direct way to communicate with us. So if people want to ask us questions or send us emails, you know, we're happy to talk with people or to answer any questions and stuff. And we're pretty good about responding and keeping in touch with all of our online friends and stuff, you know. So it's kind of a benefit to not having, like, a million MySpace friends and stuff, you know. Is see some of these bands with so many friends and so many plays and stuff, and that's cool and all, but, you know, I've talked to bands who they're, like, they tell me stories about people getting mad at them and upset with them that they haven't written them back, you know, and it's like, it's not that they meant to, or it's just that they have so many emails every day that they can't do it all, you know, so.
Very true.
Well, this is the last question. It's not a question at all.
Actually, I'll ask any one of you to give us your best pirate impression.
Argy matey!
I'll pass.
The bolts in me leg be rustin', arr.
Nate looks like a pirate.
Does that count?
He's just sitting there. Does that kind of... Did you film that?
Just
you
saw it. Just do a yawn. It'll be a pirate yawn.
Archoo!
Thanks once again. Today, this is Pirate Davy Jones of PiratePods.com, and I just finished speaking with the Scribe Midst the Lions. They are a great band. Go out and see them, listen to their music, any of the websites they mentioned, and through MySpace as well. Thank you so much.